This is PhotoBizX, episode number 557, and today we are in for a real treat because our special guest runs multiple studios. Well, he runs his studio, but he has franchises or franchisees that he trains in his strategies, in his techniques, in exactly how to run a profitable and successful business. And I can tell you, he was an absolute open book when I pushed him on the questions in today's episode. And I know that you will get a ton from what he has to share. I'm talking about Brendan Taylor of Baby Art Studios in the UK. And that interview is coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich, host of the PhotoBizX podcast, where I interview guests from around the world to help you build a better photography business even faster than going it alone. And I am recording this episode first thing in the morning before I head away to Bright, which I mentioned in last week's episode, which is the reason why this may be a little later than usual. And because I am recording first thing in the morning, my voice feels a little bit funny. I was just doing some exercises, trying to clear my throat. And all I could hear from the other room is Linda shouting at me to stop making that racket, stop making that noise. I sound like an old man. I sound like her father. And I told her, look, I've got to get my voice ready. I'm about to record. This is the first time I've spoken this morning. And I said, I have to do some voice exercises to get this voice box working. And she said, well, aren't you meant to slap the turkey or something? We both couldn't stop laughing. I don't know what that means. Slap the turkey. I don't know how that's going to help me with my voice. I can hear her giggling away now as I tell you this. Anyway, my voice feels absolutely fine now after that laugh. I can tell you I didn't slap the turkey. Yes, that was Linda snorting in the background. Alrighty, we are going to get into today's episode. If you didn't catch last week's episode with Joel Dunn, make sure you get back and have a listen to that one. Joel is the photography business and mindset coach. In that interview, he shared his thoughts on why, after coaching hundreds and hundreds of photographers and speaking to other coaches, why some photographers are supremely successful and good at being coached, while others simply fail and they are almost uncoachable. So get back and have a listen to that one. He does share some great insights on how you can improve your coachability and become more successful in your photography business.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
Oh, and just quickly, before we do jump into this interview with Brendan, if you are hearing this announcement, it does mean you are listening to the free version of the podcast. Now, today's episode, instead of cutting a large portion of the second half, what I've done is cut a large portion of the middle part of the interview because that is the best part of the interview. It's where Brendan shares the most for the members. So I pulled that out. I'm saving that for members. The good news is you can access the full interview, including that large portion in the middle, for as little as $1. With a 30-day trial membership. And there are more details about that over at photobizx.com/try. And like many other interviews, if you become a member and access the parts that you're missing out on, they are the ones that are the life changers. They're the ones that will change your profitability. They're the ones that are going to convert more leads into more clients, into more sales. They're going to show you better marketing strategies, the nitty-gritty of how things work, and your membership will more than pay for itself very, very quickly. And today's episode is a perfect case in point. Again, there are more details at photobizx.com/try if you want to see what you're missing out on every single week.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's guest was first interviewed on the podcast for episode 502, which was last year. And in that interview, we focus heavily on a Facebook Live marketing strategy that I can say he is still running today and very successfully. Now, the reason I asked him back onto the podcast was following a series of messages I received early in January this year. He wrote to me and said, "Happy New Year, Andrew. How would you feel about a new interview with me for your podcast? The haters and the heat have died down a lot, and I've got some great advice and tips for photographers after we at Baby Art Studios had a record-breaking year in 2023, despite there being a world economic crisis. We had studios in our group making the most money they have ever made, had more bookings than they could deal with, and are having to hire more staff and larger premises. Not to mention coaching other photographers in your neck of the woods who have seen huge results. Then he shared a screenshot of a message thread with an Aussie-based newborn photographer who I know, like, and trust. And she wrote, "I just finished out 2023 a whole 73% up on last year. Thank you for everything. My two final sales of the year were today, $3,500 and $1,600. I needed that after a $200 sale yesterday." Now, I am super excited to have him back and to learn more about his business. I'm talking about Brendan Taylor of Baby Art Studios, and I am rapt to have him back with us now. Brendan, welcome back, mate.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I am doing well, but it sounds like you guys are just killing it over there. Like, what's changed, if anything?
We have been literally head down and ass up for the last year. Like, really, we have just been so focused on our goal and our vision. You know, last year there were some ripples and stuff that kind of took our eye off the ball a little bit. But yeah, we just got back to being fully focused, head down, working extremely hard, understanding what we're here to do. Ultimately, is to be able to make sure that the parents that we work with have the best experience and the best memories to take away from their time with us. And that's what we did. We're focused solely on customer experience and customer journey, even more so than ever over the last 12 months.
Amazing. For the listener that hasn't heard that initial interview with you, give us an idea about your business model, because you're not like a traditional standalone, you know, single owner photography studio, are you?
No, yeah. So I was. So yeah, we just had a goal to just grow our business base. So we're Baby Art Studios, as you mentioned. We specialize in maternity, newborn, baby photography. It was actually, unfortunately, off the back of a loss of a baby between myself and my other half, where we decided that we wanted to put a package together where we got to document somebody's journey from maternity through to baby's first birthday, because unfortunately, we didn't get to create those memories for our little one that, unfortunately, who passed. And it was off the back of that we decided that everyone have the opportunity to create those memories that we didn't. And we wanted to spread the joy of these memories potentially worldwide, but obviously to begin with around the UK. So we've rebranded ourselves from TaylorMade Portraits, which was the family portrait photography company that I used to run, to Baby Art UK. And then went on to have two more children after the little one we lost, one to which was deaf and another one was autistic. And it was off the back of having to work with the children and to spend a lot of time with them, it slowed our growth of our business, because obviously we had to dedicate our time and energy to our children, but we still wanted to give the memories and the experience to the families, which was in our original goal. So we franchised the company to which where we could still give our special message and memories to people around the country, but just not by us. So we'd allow other photographers to do it. So that's when we grew it into a franchise model. And then it just went from there. We ended up having one franchisee, then another, and then we've got 10 studios around the UK right now. But then we rebranded from Baby Art UK after a couple of years in of franchising to Baby Art Studios, because we had interest abroad as well. So we didn't want to limit ourselves to the UK market, and rebranded from Baby Art UK to Baby Art Studios. So now we've got 10. 11, in fact. We've got a new one assigned just now. Can't mention where it is just yet, but contracts have all been done and they launch in April. So yeah, next month.
So that'll be 11 Baby Art Studios in the UK or in other countries?
In the UK currently, yeah.
Right, okay. When I recorded with you last year, the original goal I heard, I can't remember if this was from you, was to have 100 studios worldwide. And then there was a lot of drama last year, and people can go back and listen to that episode if they want to. But it sounded like then you were going to bring everything closer to home and you weren't looking at expanding. So it sounds like you're back into the expansion mode.
Yeah, so rightfully so. So yeah, there was lots that went on last year to where we redefined our goal and our vision and stuff, but it was just kind of dampened for a while. But the goal and vision is the same. Like, we have to create these memories for families in the UK, around Europe, around the world, because we don't just take pictures. Sounds very corny, if you like, but we're not just photographers, we're experience givers. Like, if you read our reviews and stuff, very rarely do they speak about our pictures. And I'm not ashamed by that either. Like, our pictures are lovely. They're multi-award winning, like a lot of other photographers, but we're not just there to take a lovely picture. We are there to create an experience for our clients. And that's what they talk about in their reviews. And that goes way beyond just taking some nice photos.
Right. I mean, when I'm listening to you now and talking to you, you know, you sound like Brendan, the experience giver, the feel-good guy, the memory maker. But there's got to be, like, there's some serious business ideas going on behind all that. I mean, this is all about making money too, isn't it? For you and for your studio owners.
For sure. For sure. But the best way to make money isn't to try and make money, in my opinion. And it sounds really silly, right? But I think about all my own personal experiences. So we sat back down and we looked at our model. We were doing okay. And it's, how do we make it better? And it isn't about thinking about ourselves. It's about thinking about our client and our client's journey and our customer experience. And I think about all the experiences I've had. If I've gone to a restaurant, if the food has been amazing, but the service has been terrible, the waitress or waiter was really rude, they just didn't give a shit, like, you don't go back. But if I go to a restaurant and the food's okay, but the service is amazing, every time I go in, hi, Brendan, hi, Kaylee, hi, kids, like, are you having the steak as usual? Are you having your normal drink? Like, you go back over and over and over again, even if the food is just okay. And that's, the service goes way beyond the final product. And that's what we wanted. So we call our experience the Disneyland effect. I don't know if I'm allowed to publicly say that without Disney coming after me, but but we call it the Disneyland effect because I've been to Disneyland in Paris 5 times now, and there is no brochure, there is no video, there's no YouTube channel, there is nothing that sells Disney like being at Disney. There is nothing that sells it. And we just went to Disney for Christmas this year, just gone. My children are all grown up now, 17, 12, and 10. And it was still just magical being there. You still wave at the characters like they're, you know, they're real. Well, they are real, of course. But I mean, it's just magic. And that's what we want to create for our clients. We just want to create that magical experience. So when they look at the pictures up on the wall, they're taken back to the day in the studio and the laughs that they had and the fun that they had. And if dad got weed on or if mum got pooed on, like, all of those memories come flooding back into that image. And that's what we're trying to create.
No. So with the Disneyland reference, are you saying that the best way for people to hear about you and your business is to have other clients talk about you and their experience?
Yes and no. The best way to find out about our business is to come and experience it for yourself.
Oh, okay. That's the Disneyland reference.
Yeah. Come in and experience it for yourself, because yes, it's lovely for people to shout about us. Yes, it's lovely to read reviews. It's lovely to see other pictures posted on Facebook and stuff. But until you've experienced it with your own baby and seeing your own baby posed and positioned and worked with our baby whisperers the way we work with their babies, there's nothing actually like being there and experiencing it for yourself. Then coming back and viewing your images via, you know, the animated slideshow and the cinematic experience that we give, you know, it's just amazing. And that itself is worth more than any money in the bank. And the fact that we get paid to do that is like a footballer. So here in the UK, obviously all over the world, but footballers get paid to do what they love to do. Like, I don't go to work. You know, I coach the people that we spoke about in Australia, and I'm up at 12, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And yes, I get paid to do it, but I do it for that text message that you read out at the beginning. I do it for that. That's what gives me the fire in the belly, is like that same photographer messaged me. She said, so when I spoke to her, when I started working with her a year ago, she said, I don't really want to hire staff. That's not my plan. I don't really know how I want to grow, but I know I want to grow. But I don't think I want to hire staff. Wouldn't even know where to start. This same person now has 3 members of staff. 3 members of staff. I'm not doing expos. I don't want to do any expos. Don't know where to start. She's done 3 expos. She messaged me and she said, the member of staff's name, I won't mention names, but the staff member's name, I'm sat in a nail salon having my nails done while staff member's name has just done a $4,500 sale. What the fuck is what she put? And I was like, show me your nails. And she sent me a picture of her nails. And she was just like, I don't know what to do with my time. I just don't know what to do. And that's what gives me the fire, is the fact that this person who's working extremely hard, incredible woman, incredible lady, workhorse, absolute workhorse, but Now she's getting her nails done while her staff are making her money, and it's incredible. And you know her, right? So feel free to have a chat with her, you know, outside of this. She's now got the best problem in the world. She's got way too many bookings to deal with. She doesn't know what to do with them. She's literally herself is considering having to get a bigger premises to deal with the amount of bookings she's got. She is overrun. She doesn't know what to do.
Unreal.
She's stuck.
Unreal. Well, look, I'm going to bring you back and reference some of the things you just said, but I know the listener is sitting here listening, thinking, okay, Brendan, look, yeah, sure, it's about the client journey. It's about the client experience. I can deliver the best experience. What? Just wait till they get in and see how I treat them and the photos I create and how I'm going to spoil them. But how do I get those bookings in the first place for them to come and experience, you know, me and what I do? And I've referenced your Facebook lives. I don't want to go too deep into those because we covered them deeply last time. But surely there must be, I don't want to call them tricks, but because parents need a reason to book a photographer. You must be enticing them somehow to come into the studio to pick up the phone or to send you a message and initiate that initial meeting for you to be able to bring them in and have that experience.
Yeah, so excuse my French again, and I use this in our training and I say it to people on socials when we're doing it. But one thing that I would say more than anything is don't expect to fuck on a first date, all right? Don't expect to get married on the first date, because so many photographers are putting their post out on social media. It's a mummy and me post, or it's a Valentine's post or Christmas mini post, whatever it is. They're putting posts out and expecting bookings instantly because the offer's great or the pictures are great. The best thing that I would say doing is create conversations and relationships with people before you're asking them to commit to purchase. One thing that we teach heavily in our business is 90% of what we do is selling, 10% of what we do is closing. And when I say selling, I don't mean pressured sales and hard sales. I mean from the ad going out to the amount of times we touch them via emails, text messages, retargeted ads, phone calls, lumpy mail. So like, you know, stuff out in the actual post that there's something in there for them to feel once it comes through a letterbox. Oh, what's in here? Like, multiple touch points before we even consider booking them as a client. Now, what most photographers do is they do 10% of selling and 90% of closing. So anything to get a bum on a seat, and then they try the hard sell. And I don't mean necessarily really hard pressured sale, but then they do everything they can just to get a sale once they've got them through the door. We do the opposite. We do the hard work at the beginning so that the sale becomes super easy, because we've educated them all the way through the customer experience and journey through answering questions, asking questions for them to make sure that they get the right information so that they start asking questions about prices. They start asking questions about products and how much this is and how much that is. We force them to ask those questions by the type of questions that we ask them. And there was something that you had somebody on your podcast recently about, they said about some photographers don't put their prices on the website. They hide some information back off their website. That's me, by the way. I hide information off my website, not because I don't want them to see it. I want them to talk to me. I don't want them to be able to download a PDF or go onto the price page and see everything. I need them to start a conversation with me. I've looked on your website. I know your package for the bump to baby is $199, but how much are your extra pictures? Then I can start dialogue. Then I can start conversation. How do you want to display them? What size are you thinking? What room in the house you might thinking about putting them in? Oh, we just want all the digitals. Like, that's what they think they want until we start further conversation. And then actually they want prints for grandparents. They want something on the fireplace. Like, they don't realize what they want until that conversation starts. And then when you're having a really good conversation with these people, we call it the trust timer. The more time you spend with these people asking questions, the more questions you ask, the deeper the questions you ask, you start asking some painful questions, as in like, why now? What made you book us? What's so important that you create these memories? Then you start finding out that this is actually a rainbow baby or an IVF baby or a miracle baby. And all of a sudden, you know, price and products and stuff are not really that important to the client when they actually tell themselves really why I actually want to book this in the first place. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does. When you're saying conversations, are you talking about physically you or one of your team talking on the phone, or is this via text messages, email? Like, what is it?
95% of it is text and WhatsApp.
So you'll go that deep. You'll go that deep with your questions on text, backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards.
Yeah. It's the most comfortable way our clients find them to talk. With the way of the world right now, Instagram, DM, Snapchatting, WhatsApping, texting, people don't want to talk on the phone. Like, they just don't. Like, if you ask to get them on the phone, oh, can you just send me an email? Or can you do, like, they don't want to speak. And I don't know if that's because they're worried about being sold to, or if it's just because it's so natural now just to text backwards and forwards. I want to do whatever the client wants to do. If the client's comfortable in texting me, then I'm comfortable texting back. If they want to get on the phone, I'll get on the phone. Ideally, I don't want to email. The reason I don't want to email is because it takes too long for a reply. If they're not there and then on their emails, it's quite easy for it just to be lost. Like, 98% of people open and read a text message.
Right. So let's say someone responds to, or, like, you know, they DM you through Instagram.
Yeah.
Do you then want to take them into WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger, or will you stay inside?
Stay in Insta, yeah. Yeah. Stay. I'll get their telephone number, but wherever they contact me is where I will continue the communication with them, just because that's where they're comfortable. But the art for me is to reply within seconds, not minutes, not hours, within seconds. And we do that through automation. So automation to interact with them instantly. And then once that interaction is, they've answered a couple of questions via the automation, it's then pinged over to a human. And that human has to reply instantly and carry on that automation as if it was always a human. And then it carries on so that we can start asking more human questions.
Okay. So are you doing that with ManyChat?
No, so we're doing that with our own CRM system that we've built. There's lots of CRM systems out there that does text messages and stuff. There's Studio Ninja, there's Lightblue, there's HubSpot. There's so many different things out there. But we were lucky enough to have ours custom built last year. And we something that we're potentially going to be releasing to the public later on this year if everything goes well.
So if someone DMs you in Instagram or on Instagram, yeah, then your CRM will pick that up and then send some automated messages and then gets passed on to a human. So what happens if that is that, like, right now? I mean, I'm surprised that we're talking at this time for you. You said it's midnight and you're just coming on now. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
So if you get a DM now and the client, the prospective client, responds to a couple of automated messages, then it gets pinged over to you or your team.
Yeah.
Someone's got to be awake.
No. So we've got a lot of AI and stuff built into our CRM as well. So we've built some really clever systems. So if somebody DMs us now, likelihood is it will just say, hi, thank, you know, give a couple of seconds. It just say, hi, thanks ever so much for messaging. Sorry to reply so late. Just wanted to let you know that I've received your message and we'll pick it up in the morning and carry on, type thing. So it's just like, you know, I'm about to hit the sack, but I'll message you again in the morning. It's just like that, but instantly reply so that they feel, Jesus Christ, that was quick. But yes, it's very, very cleverly done. It's something, I can't remember where I picked that up. Might have been Grant Cardone, the American, you know, the real estate guru. I was part of the Grant Cardone University program for 12 months. And one thing I learned from there more than anything else, it was the art of follow-up. And it's the speed of follow-up, which is so, so, so important. And since doing the Grant Cardone University program a couple of years ago, our follow-up game is just nuts. Our follow-up game is incredible. And that's what has allowed us to literally catapult our business over the last 24 months or so is follow-up. And we don't do it enough. We do not do it enough. In this industry, especially in the UK, we don't want to follow up because we're worried we might offend somebody or that maybe we're messaging them too much. I messaged somebody. I don't know if I'll show you on here. You obviously, the people were listening to this won't see it, right? But I had somebody on here. It says, I'll have the Watch Me Grow package. I've just purchased it now. Thanks. I said, okay, amazing. Once booked, your chosen studio will be in touch within 72 hours to arrange dates and times. They've put, hello, apologies, all booked and sorted now. Been one of those days. Thank you so much for sending the reminders. Appreciate your help. I put, you're so welcome. They had 3 text messages and an email sent in one day. And it was off those 3 text messages and an email that triggered them to go, shit, I've got to get this done. And they got it done. If I wouldn't have sent them so many reminders, that one would have slipped through the net. That's worth £1,600 to me, which is about, I don't know, $3,000 to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
How much does 3 text messages cost?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what a great example. So if, let's say you're in a texting conversation with a prospective client. You're going backwards and forwards, and all of a sudden, you know, they've got to pick up their kids or whatever. They're going to go, or they just go silent for an hour, 2 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ping them back and say, hey, where have you gone? Or do you wait for them to reply if you've asked the last question?
Yeah, so if I've asked the last question and it's gone completely quiet, then 2 minutes later, they'll get a smiley face and a question mark just to find out, like, if anything's going on. And then another 5-10 minutes go by and I go, look, I think you might have stepped away from your phone. Just let me know when you're back and we can pick this back up. And then in our CRM pipeline, it just basically we've got a waiting on them and waiting on us. So it just goes waiting on them. And all the ones that are sat in that pipeline of waiting on them, we just check that a few times, you know, throughout the day, every other hour or so, we're checking that pipeline and we just keep messaging people that are in there. And if it takes 3 or 4 messages and an email to get a response, then so be it. The worst thing they're going to say is, will you just leave me alone? Like, I'm clearly not interested. Okay, so then I put them in the ghosted folder and they're gone. And that's okay. But what I don't want is a clogged up pipeline. I need my pipeline to be empty. They're either qualified in or qualified out, but not a maybe, you know, 100 maybes in there, because they're no use to the client or me. I'd rather them say, look, thanks, but no thanks. Then I just move them into the ghosted. If they are interested, then we carry on the conversation and then they book or they don't. As simple as that.
Unreal. Let's say you're coaching me and I'm implementing this pipeline and I'm getting, you know, the odd or maybe frequently these replies like, hey, I'm not interested, and I'm adding them to the ghost list. But every time I do that, it hurts me. I feel like, wow, I've offended someone in my local area. Like, I don't want to be that guy. What do you say to me?
Yeah. So if, just by the way, I don't offer my coaching services to anybody. The fact that I do coach a couple of people is just through making friends. You can't find me as a coach anywhere. I don't sell my services. I'm not a trainer. I'm not a coach. So there's no upsell on this call or anything like that at all. It's not what this is about. But yeah, if I was coaching you, you'd say, look, I really don't want to offend anybody. I would say then I don't think you're serving the people correctly, in my opinion, unless they tell you they're interested or they're not. Because if you've left them hanging, or you feel they've left you hanging, if they've ignored you and you're thinking, well, they've left me hanging, I don't really know what to do, my opinion is you've left them hanging. Like, you've left, if you think they've gone quiet on you, I think you've gone quiet on them. You're the business. You're the one with the products or service. Yes, they've reached out to you, but it's your job now to qualify them in or out. And until they tell you they're interested or they're not, then they're interested, because they haven't told you they're not interested.
So that's what you mean by keeping your pipeline clean and moving.
Correct.
You need an answer from every single person in that pipeline.
Yes, but not instantly. Like, you know, they're waiting on them. That conversation piece can happen for days or weeks. I've got no problem with that part. But obviously, if the conversation goes completely cold, then the conversation has to start again until we can kind of keep moving you down the pathway to either qualified in or out. You know, we teach a thing called the LNS, which is the logical next step. Each time a conversation happens, there has to be a logical next step at the end of it. I'm not just saying, hi, Andrew, how's your day? And then you go, yeah, it's good. And I go, brilliant. Then just like, there's no point. Like, you know, when I reached out to you in January, how would you feel about me coming back on your show? First of all, I asked you a question that you couldn't say yes or no to. We had to have a conversation. How would you feel about?
Mm-hmm.
Remember last year, I taught you about the 5 W's and a H. So the questions that we asked that generate conversation. I'm always going to ask a question that generates a conversation, not just a, what we call a BINIP question, which is a bring a no into play question. I don't want to ask a question that you can just say yes or no, because the conversation just goes dead. So I'll ask a question that will generate conversation. If I said to you, Andrew, how would you feel about having me back on the show? You can't go, yes, just doesn't make sense. So like, I ask questions. All of the dialogue that we have on text message will always be a question that generates a conversational answer, not just a yes or no answer. And then I lead them down a path for them to be able to make a decision on what happens next. It's always the client's choice. What we teach is when a prospect is in choice, you're in full control of the conversation. The moment the client has no choice, we lose the control of the conversation. We don't know how to take it.
Right. And the beauty of doing this all via text message is you can keep updating those scripts, you can modify them, you can see what the replies are, and it just gets better and better all the time.
So in this CRM that we've built, It has a unified inbox. So TikTok, Instagram, WhatsApp, text messages, email, website, messenger, any messenger you like, all comes into one inbox. So you don't have to keep going different things to find them. They all come into one. And you can either send pre-recorded voice notes. You can text it as well. So you can have an automatic. So in your workflow, in your automated workflow, when a message, when an inquiry comes in, 2 minutes after an inquiry comes in, you can automatically send a voice note that just says, hey, thanks ever so much for just the inquiry. I'm just out, you know, on a kid's run at the moment, but I'll send you a text in just a few minutes when I get back in the car. And then 2 minutes go by and a text goes out and just says, hi, I just got back in the car. I'm just going to get home, sort the kids out, and then I'll message you a bit later on. That's all automated. And then obviously that goes to a human, and now the human's got like half an hour or so to be able to like respond to this as a human. But obviously as it comes in, you can just make this really humanized, if that's a word, to be able to instantly touch them the moment they message so that they feel like, shit, somebody's at the end, like somebody's there, even though they're out on the school run, or even though they're out in the car or they're in shopping, they've got back to me. Like within seconds of me sending, an inquiry over. But that's so powerful.
Yeah, I can see that. So when you talked about the trust timer and keeping the client, you know, engaged and going backwards and forwards, what is the end goal? Is it to get the booking or not? Is it to have them schedule a face-to-face meeting? Like, what are you trying to, where are you trying to get to first?
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
So, Brendan, how many times have you been told that you are missing out on sales by not doing a sales session for the pregnant mum?
So many times. I don't care.
So have you proved them wrong, you know, with your method or in your own mind, or you're just using it as a lost leader?
Yeah, a bit of a lost leader. I don't... I'm a businessman. I think I'm quite a clever businessman, but I have learned to stop worrying about the money. I live comfortably off the money that we make. Our studios do as well. So a lot of our studios have gone on to invest in property and stuff off the profits they've made from baby art. Like, as much as people think I'm just all about money and money, or whatever it is, I'm really not. Like, I am so content with what we've got. I don't live in a mansion. I live in a nice house. Me and my other half drive a car each. We go on holiday two or three times a year. I get to take my mum on holiday, which is amazing because we didn't have that growing up. Like, I take my mum on holiday every year with us, and I'm just in a good place. I'm happy. So it's not all about the money. Like it used to be. I used to be like, fake it till you make it. I used to be like very much, I've got everything when I didn't really have everything. And I still don't have everything. I don't drive a Rolls Royce, but I'm just good now. Like, we make a good living off our business. I don't have to sell training courses. I don't, you know, I'm not one of those, forgive me for the word, you know, you alienating people, but I'm not a photographer that's now a trainer because I can't get business through the door. Do you know what I mean? I'm not. And going on to that, just because obviously I know for time-wise, we're doing 6 training sessions a year now, 2 days. So day one is newborn photography, safety, lighting, posing, workflow. My other half is going to run that with a couple of our photography team on day one. Day two is business. Day two is understanding your numbers, setting plans, setting goals. 2 days completely free. 6 times a year. Every other month we're planning on doing this at our HQ studio in Ipswich in the UK. There is no upsell. 100% nothing to buy, nothing to sign up for, no training courses, no coaching, no franchise sales. Nothing at all. 2 days completely free. We're going to take everybody out for dinner on the first night as well, all paid for by us, with no hidden agenda. There is nothing for you to buy. 100% no upsell. There's no, I don't need your email address. I don't need nothing, right? We just want to do it because there's so much shit out there. There's so much, oh, I can teach you everything. Come and buy my training course, but I don't do it myself. I can teach you it, but I don't do it. Like, we're not selling a training course. We're giving it because we don't need to make money.
Why? Why do you even care? Like, why would you do that?
For 2 reasons. I'll be honest with you. And I'm glad you asked that question, right? And I don't know if I'm kind of lowering my guard a little bit by sharing this. But number one is just to prove people wrong. Like, and I'll be honest with you. It's just to prove people wrong. Like, They're not so much now, but there was so much mud on my name last year. So many people have got an opinion on me because of other people. And that's died down a lot. Don't get me wrong. My name's not been mentioned for a long time, but there's still people out there that has an opinion on me because of what was said. So make your own opinion. Now, when I've shared this, that we're going to be doing this training, already people are like, oh, there's a hidden catch. Oh, what's the catch? Oh, he's trying to sell franchises again or whatever. I said, look, there's two things you can do here. Number one is you can come along and find out for yourself. And number two, you can wait for somebody else who comes along to tell you what they thought. Simple as that. But that's all I'm going to say about the matter, as in to them, like, you know, I don't need to explain myself. I'm giving this training away. It's free. The second reason I want to do it is because the industry needs something. The industry's dying over here. And if it dies, my industry dies. That's where I make my living, right? I want to help raise the industry back. And I'll be honest with you. If I train, so we're doing this to 10 to 15 people every other month. So let's say 10 people every 2 months come to us. That's 60 a year. If I train 60 people in a year and give them all the knowledge that I'm going to give them, I can bet you 55 of those 60 won't even use it. And I'm not really going to cause myself any problems because they're not even going to use it anyway.
Why is that? Why? Why do you think that is?
Because there's too much effort involved. You've got to do, like, even with the coaching that I do, the first thing I say to people is there's no magic wand here. So, like, you can pay me to go do coaching with you, but I'm your coach. I'm not your bitch. I'm not doing everything for you, right? As in, like, I'm going to give you keys to unlock different doors, but you've got to walk through them. Like this, like to a business, you look at your podcast, for example, right? It didn't happen overnight. You're growing it. You're putting a graft in. Like, it takes effort. So does running a business and building a business. You can't just put a post out on Facebook and expect to be like a fully booked photographer. It doesn't work that way. Like, I've been in the industry 16 years. 16 years of spending hundreds of thousands of pounds, hundreds of thousands of hours getting it wrong. I now have some knowledge to be able to pass back to people where they can kind of fast forward through some of those bits that I got wrong. And I want to do that just because I can, because I'm in a position to be able to do that. And I know what it's like to be in early stages of business and struggled for real. So, yeah.
Amazing. It sounds incredible, Brendan. How do we find out about it? Do you have to be in the UK? Can I fly to the UK to come and do this?
Yeah, feel free to fly over. Like I said, it's two. So we haven't released the first date yet. We're just waiting to get some dates sorted, but it'll be over 2 days. We ask you to invest in one thing. There is no upsell. There is no selling. There's nothing. We ask you to invest in one thing, and that's in yourself. We ask you to invest 2 days of your life to come along for training with an open mind. And we ask you to invest in the cost of a hotel stay and a train ticket or whatever it is for you to stay over in a hotel, because it's over 2 days. You can't just come for the newborn part. You've got to come for both. And come with an open mind and come and just learn. And if you can take a golden nugget away, great. If you can take loads away, great. If you take nothing away, then it costs you a hotel in 2 days. You got a free meal out of it, free lunch out of it. You got to network with other photographers, like, but that's it. Like, we don't ask for anything. And just chuck it in as well. We've got loads of de-stash stuff that we have, like, that we don't use anymore. We're giving that away to people that come as well. Not selling it, not, but, you know, anyone that comes for that training, there will just be a pile of stuff that we don't use anymore. To help yourself. Simple as that. And like I said, I can't stress it enough. When the dates get released, we'll release them probably on our page. And also I manage what used to be the Newborn Photography Show page, which is now called the Newborn and Portrait Company. So the TNPC, I manage that page. Feel free to come into that group. You can advertise yourself. You can share anything that you've, as long as this doesn't cause any disrespect to anybody. If you've got a course you want to share in there, share it. If you've got something you want to sell in there, sell it. I'm not one of these groups that goes, you can't advertise yourself in here because I do it. Like, it's a group for photographers. If somebody's got something to share or sell, do it. We have Marketing Mondays every Monday at 7 o'clock, where we talk marketing. It's free. I give away hints and tips and stuff that we're doing that works well for us. We go on for about an hour. We talk live. It's all free. And we also have Winning Wednesdays. So on Wednesday, you come in and you just shout about something that has been a win this week. As small or as big as you like, shout about it. There's no discrimination for somebody bigging themselves up. We promote you promoting yourself. Like, feel good about your taking your best ever picture or your biggest ever sale, or that you just bought a new camera or whatever it is. Like, shout about it. Like, you see that in some groups again, and that's frowned upon. When you've done your biggest month in sales and you post that in a group, it gets one like. But you post or, you know, or some other fluffy bullshit, and it gets 100 likes.
Yeah.
Just big yourself up.
Right. What I'll do is I'll add links to the group, and obviously if you let me know when the dates are for your training, I'll shout out about those as well, because I'd love to share that with listeners. I've got two quick questions I want to finish with. Really quickly, and honestly, I don't want to gloss over what you just shared because it sounds incredible, and once I know the dates, if I can be there, I'll come along to one of these.
Yeah, get in there. Come on.
I don't want to photograph newborn kids, but I want to come and see you train. That'd be awesome.
Love that.
Two quick questions. In the intro, I said about that photographer that would be referencing through the podcast episode, that she made two sales on her final day, 3,500 and 1,500. And the day before, she said, I really needed that because I made a $200 sale yesterday. What would you say to me if that was my sales?
What, 3,500, 1,500 and 200?
Yep.
Yeah, I would ask you, how do you feel?
Well, I feel good today. I felt shit yesterday.
Okay, so how do you feel for the month?
Yeah, it's awesome. Best ever. I'm up 70%.
So what's the problem?
I love that. So you're just purely looking at the averages.
Yeah, I don't look at sale by sale. Used to, and it scares the shit out of you. If you have a day of a 200 sale, it scares the living crap out of you. Look, like, I've been through a massive weight loss journey as well, right? Huge. I've lost 60.
That's my last question, so you can't go into that. I'm going to ask you about that.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, so what I'm saying is, so my journey, you can't look at day by day on the scales. You can't look at sale by sale on your figures. For me, I look at things like quarterly, half yearly. I don't even look at things monthly anymore because, you know, it doesn't make a difference. Again, step two of our 9 steps is understanding your numbers. If you understand your numbers, one shitty sale or one shitty week isn't going to make a difference to your month or quarter. It's just part of your numbers. And if you understand them well enough, you don't even batter an eyelid of that low sale that happened, because it's just part of your numbers. It's just part of your averages. Yeah, no problem.
Love it. Love it. Mate, last question for you. You look freaking amazing.
Thank you so much.
I know that you have been on a weight loss journey. You look incredible, mate. You must feel amazing.
I get quite emotional when I talk about it. Like, I've got my life back, my children have their dad back, my partner has her, you know, partner back. My business people that are, you know, have bought into me over the years, have their mentor back, and have in me, you know, no foggy brain. I'm fully focused. I'm there. You know, I couldn't go to a restaurant without ringing ahead and asking if they had arms on their chairs because I couldn't fit in them. I couldn't, you know, couldn't go to the cinema without making sure they had the sofas available because I couldn't fit in one of the normal chairs. So I had no quality of life. I've lost 16 and a half stone in weight, and in kilos, because I know that's how you work, in Australia, I have lost 104 kilos.
Jeez, that's over 200 pounds for the Americans.
Yeah, 104 kilos in 18 months.
Unbelievable.
Well, I lost the majority of it in just under 18 months, but it's been 2 years now since my operation. But yeah, I'm now literally half the man I used to be. Yeah.
So did you do like the gastric band type thing?
Gastric bypass, full bypass. So yeah, for a brand new stomach made basically. So yeah. So.
Right. So does that mean it takes away your appetite, or you just physically can't eat as much?
Both. So yeah, appetite is still there, but I can eat. So I'm lucky enough. So some people can't eat like certain things afterwards. I can eat anything and everything still, but just tiny portions. So like a kid's Happy Meal from McDonald's, for example, I can't finish one.
Right. You physically can't, even though you feel like you might want to.
No, I don't even feel like I want to. Like I said, after I've had like half of kid's burger, it's like I've had a full Sunday lunch. I am full. So I don't want anymore. So, and that's the fear, what a lot of big people have. If I have this operation, I'm going to be really hungry, but just can't eat. No, once you've eaten, you don't want anymore. Like, you're full up. So yeah. So incredible amount of weight loss. And I'm just so, so happy to have my life back and for people around me to have me back, because, you know, I'm as big head as it sounds, I'm a good person to have around. I lift the room. I do lift the room in places I am. And I was in a bad place when I got to my biggest. I was not happy. Do you know what I mean? I had no quality of life. I was shit. And now I'm like me 2.0. Like, I'm back, and I'm just, yeah, I'm loving life, and I'm just loving just being around people and just doing what I'm doing.
But you don't only look lighter; you look fitter. Like, you must be doing exercise as well. Like, you look great.
Yeah, I play football every Monday now. I go swimming 2 or 3 times a week. I help coach my son's football team. Like, this is stuff I could only even dream of a couple of years ago. I wouldn't get off the sofa. I had social anxiety where I wouldn't go to the supermarket. I would not leave the house. I'd leave the house to the car, to the office, from the office into the car, back home on the sofa. The kids would say, can we go to the park? And I'd be like, I'm busy. I've got work to do. Really, I just was so uncomfortable walking and moving. I would make any excuse not to leave the house. Now, wherever we go, it's like, should we get a taxi or should we get a bus or whatever? No, let's walk. I can walk now. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can walk. I wouldn't be able to walk from, like, you know, 50 meters without stopping for breath. Now I can just, I'm like Forrest Gump. I just keep running. Like, I don't stop. Like, I'm just got so much energy, which is amazing.
So good. Brendan, again, mate, it's been amazing to talk to you. Congratulations on your success. I love what you're doing with the business. I love what you share. And can't wait to hear about these training programs you've got coming up, the bi-monthly ones. Massive thanks for coming on again. Thank you for reaching out and for positioning yourself and the messages the way you do, mate. You're amazing. So thank you.
Honestly, thank you so much. And I hope the listeners managed to, I don't like just ramming on and talking about myself and our successes. I don't mind it. I hope people give some people inspiration, but I hope some of your listeners have been able to take something away from today. So yeah, and I appreciate you, Andrew, for allowing me back on after last year as well. I know you got a bit of stick. Put your ratings up a little bit. Got some listeners on there as well, I know. But no, yeah, thank you so much for allowing me back. I appreciate you so much. And I love listening to your podcast and your different guests. You're great for the industry. So honestly, thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Brendan as much as I did. Brendan, if you're listening, again, mate, thank you so much for reaching out, for coming back on, for sharing everything you did. It was an absolute pleasure. I love the way you do business and the way you talk about business. And it's obvious that you must be so secure in the way that you do things that you are happy to share as much as you do, which is fantastic. So again, massive thanks for coming on, sharing what you did. For you, the listener, I do hope there were a ton of takeaways from what Brendan had to share. If you would like to learn more from Brendan, I've got links to anything and everything that he mentioned in the show notes for today's episode, and they are at photobizx.com/557. In addition to those links, I've got examples of his fantastic work or the studio's work. It's all there in that one spot. And of course, I'll let you know when I hear more about his upcoming training sessions in the UK, if you're any chance of making those in person. They would be amazing. Oh, and of course, if you are a premium member, you'll know that Brendan is already part of the members Facebook group. So if you do have any follow-up questions, you can hit him up there. Maybe there's something I didn't ask. Maybe you want him to go deeper on something we did explore. Hit him up, ask him inside the members Facebook group, and I know that he'll be happy to answer your questions there. Alrighty, that is going to wrap up this episode of the podcast. I have to go and pack. I think we're catching up with our two boys for a coffee before I head off for the week. And then it's a long, I think it's about an 8-hour drive, which I'm hoping, well, actually I know we're going to be breaking up into two parts because I'm going to pick up my buddy Adam. We're going to drive halfway tonight or today and travel the rest of the way in the morning. Either way, I'll be available and online during the week. So if you do have any follow-up questions, you can hit me up via email or I will see you in the members Facebook group if you are a premium member. Alrighty, have a great week wherever you are in the world. Stay safe, healthy, and well, and I will talk to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.